got leaving out of, I say leaving, graduating out of this year. And got to thinking about the years that we've had with them here, the times that we've had to try to be a light to them and try to train them. And hopefully, you know, they think they're grown now. Well, you get that diploma and, boy, you've arrived. But I hope that we've instilled something in them that'll last them a lifetime. And I hope we've led them in ways of the old paths. And I hope they'll adhere to it all the days of their life. It made me think of this passage of Scripture tonight. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude is a very short book, but it covers a lot of ground. A great challenge to us as the church, isn't it? And it deals a lot with false teachers, with apostasy, and certainly we're living in the last days, and we've been told by the Word of God that apostasy would be kind of in a, I guess maybe rampant in the last days. And certainly there's a lot of false teachers, a great attack upon Christianity, upon this King James Bible. And Jude instructs us to do battle. We're not to tuck tail and run, but we're supposed to get in this thing and fight for the faith. And, you know, we need to be in shape spiritually to do that. And so we'll get into the message here. Verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterward, destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees and fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your blessings and mercies, God. Thank You, Lord, for our church, Lord, our people, God. We ask You tonight, God, You'd visit with us, Lord. You'd, God, encourage us, Lord. We pray out of the Word of God tonight, Lord. Help us to realize, Lord, God, it was a battle, God, to be fought, Lord. There's a faith to be defended, Lord. And I ask You, God, that Your will be done now in the preaching of the Word. For it's in Jesus' name we thank You, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight I'm interested in verse number 3. Where He said, you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I want to preach on this thought tonight, delivering the faith to the next generation. Delivering the faith to the next generation. I thank God that there was some God-called men, some apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that laid their life on the line. They didn't back down for Him, but they stood for the faith. They gave their lives for the faith. And I think that this calling, this challenge that we have tonight, friend, is for us to get in this thing and give our lives to Christ, to get in this battle, this thing that's going on in the world today, friend. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And let me tell you something, it's against the saints of God. It's against the house of God. It's against the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. We're the saints of God. We're the soldiers of God. And we better get ready to do battle. Amen. I ain't willing just to throw in the towel and let this thing go down right now. There's a lot of places that I believe the Lord has already just, we've got just an invisible Ichabod road above it. The glory of the Lord's departed because people have compromised the things of God, the ways of God, friend. But let me tell you something, friend. God wants us to live this faith right here before a younger generation and deliver it to them. Amen. Delivering the faith to the next generation. I won't be long tonight, but I want you to see just a few things in this word tonight. First of all, our call to duty. Our call to duty. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. And that's the first step in our call to duty, is salvation. You can't serve God unless you're a child of God. Amen? And there's a lot of folks today that's got their name on the church roll. There's a lot of folks that's been baptized. There's a lot of folks that are really good people that are trying to do something for God. But that don't work. You've got to be saved before you can get in this thing. Amen. Jesus is looking to save sinners, and then He's looking for servants to serve Him, to serve His purpose here. You see, now, Nicodemus was a good man, I believe. The Bible says he came to Jesus by night. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say that, well, maybe Nicodemus was just ashamed, to come to Him during the day. You know, I just kind of think maybe his bed got a little bit short that night. Maybe his cover just didn't cover him just right. I think he got under old Holy Ghost conviction. I believe he'd been in the presence of Jesus. And I know by the Word of God that he'd heard some of His preaching and teaching. I think he got under old Holy Ghost conviction and he wanted to do something about it. So he came to Jesus. And that's a part of salvation, friend. When the Holy Ghost gets on somebody, He draws them, He convicts them, He makes them to feel dirty, makes them to feel a need for salvation. Sure. No, it ain't just coming to join up with church. You don't get in the baptismal pool to wash away your sins. Jesus calls a person. Jesus draws a person to Him. And Jesus saves a sinner from a devil's hell, saves him from his sins. And then, friend, it's a call to duty. Now, salvation's a wonderful thing, but that's not it. God didn't just save you to sit down somewhere. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. He's got a work for us to do. Hey, there's a faith to defend right here, this faith that was once delivered to the saints. He said we should earnestly contend for it. In other words, we ought to give it our very best. It ought to be a high priority in our lives. And I'm afraid a lot of times that a lot of folks want to just come to church and be a bench warmer and just go out and live a worldly life. And really, you know, He's not pleased with that. We're in a battle. We're in the last days. The devil is a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. All these little old young'uns that come up here on Sunday morning to give their quarters and dollars and whatever, friend, hey, he's got his sights set on every one of them, friend, and we need to defend the faith, friend. We need to deliver the faith of this Word of God right here to each one of them, friend. They're going to grow up one of these days, and hey, I hope they'll take our place, friend. I hope they'll keep the fire of God burning in this house right here, friend, and in their hearts. If we're going to deliver it to them, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. We're going to have to fight. Our call to duty is through salvation, but it's also through sanctification. Sanctification. Called out. Separated. Hey, when God saves us, He wants to sanctify us. He wants to separate us from this world and use us for His honor and for His glory. This thing of sanctification is a process of becoming holy. Let me ask you something. Those of you who've been saved a long time, are you closer to God now than you was when He first saved you? Do you know more about this Bible than you did last week, last year, whenever you got saved? Sanctification, friend, is a growing process. See, this is the temple of God. This is the temple of God. I once served the devil, but Jesus saved me first Sunday morning of March of 1974, and He moved in. And my Bible tells me that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. I belong to Him now. I'm to serve Him now. I'm to yield myself to Him now and serve Him. Same with each one of us, friend. I want you to look at something in the Bible right here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Let's look in chapter number 6. Realizing that our body is a temple of God. He says in verse 14 of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" The Muslims are not our brothers. Amen. Christians. Born again Christians. That's our brothers and that's our sisters. He says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive ye." I ain't talking about going, just drawing yourself back into a turtle shell. You've got to live your life. But now, when the Lord saved me, I frequented the pool room quite often. But when He saved me, I couldn't go back in that pool room. I had to separate myself from that. I had to start reading the Bible. I had to start going to church. I had to start feeding and growing as a young Christian. And listen, friend, we can't go out and mix in the things of this world and expect God to use us or to even have anybody to have any respect for us as a Christian. You can't be a light living in the dark. Amen. He said in and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Notice this in chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. God told you and me, He said, be ye therefore holy, for I'm holy. Holiness is something that God is looking for in His people. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of ungodliness in this world today. I realize that you and I and all these kids right here, we live in a different day. Hey, there's things going on that when I was a little old boy growing up, there's things going on now that wasn't going on back then. Amen? There's things accepted now that wasn't accepted back then. And I tell you what, friend, if we stand on this word right here, let me tell you, there's going to be some bumps in the road. Everything that man says is okay, ain't okay. Just because man makes a law, it doesn't mean it's okay. If it goes against this word right here. But let me tell you, our lives, friend, it ought to be a life of sanctification. I know we ain't perfect. Anybody in here perfect? I'm not perfect. But I thank God I've got the Holy Ghost living within me. And when I do wrong, hey, He convicts me. And when I confess, He forgives me. For Christ's sake, He'll forgive you, friend. Hey, that's a part of sanctification, realizing when you're wrong and wanting to do right. Our call to duty, there must be salvation, and there ought to be sanctification. There ought to be a growing process in our lives as He's called us out to be a holy temple unto the Lord. Not only through salvation, through sanctification, but through soldiering. Our call to duty. Hey, I appreciate the boys and men that have served our country in the military, that have fought for us. There's men today that are fighting and dying for our country. But I thank God there's been a lot of men that stood upon this word right here and has given their lives totally to carrying the gospel to a lost and a dying world. I think about some of the old men and old women that I can remember when I was just a kid growing up. I think about what great soldiers of the cross they were. Hey, I looked at their faith. I heard their testimony. I heard their prayers, friend. I heard their preaching. And I knew that they had something that I didn't have, but I wanted what they had. Thank God for them old soldiers. Hey, I just wonder, these little old kids as they get older, and we leave out, I wonder if there'll be anybody. I wonder if they'll look at me. I wonder if they'll look at you and they'll have a remembrance of a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A good soldier of the cross. I wonder if we'll make an impression upon them that'll last a lifetime. Hey, there's people that I can remember from when I was just a little old boy I'll never forget. I'll never forget being in church with them. The fiery testimony that they had. The fiery preaching that I heard. Hey, the Holy Ghost singing that I heard. We've got an opportunity. It's our duty. Can I get an amen there? It's our duty. Soldiering. Look in 2 Timothy right here with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul speaking here says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, listen to this, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Boy, I'm glad we got teachers downstairs right now, our kids, teaching them the Word of God. And we ought to We ought to be teachers in our home. We ought to be teachers in our workplace. Any opportunity that we have, friend, we ought to be able to teach somebody something from the Word of God. But he goes on now in verse 3 and he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Hey, this thing ain't tiptoeing through the tulips. This is a warfare. Amen. If you're going to do something for the Lord, the devil's got his opposition. He's got somebody to come against you. So be ready. Be a good soldier. Endure hardness. Paul says as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, "No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." When you got saved, you got drafted. Amen. But it ought to be an enjoyable fight, because we know who's won the war. Amen. There's going to be some wounds. There's going to be some hurt feelings maybe somewhere. We're human. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so we ought to realize that he's chosen us. Brother Adam, he chose you to be a soldier. Brother Joe, he chose you to be a soldier. And he gives us good instruction. He gives us good basic training how to war a good warfare as we go through this life. Same for everybody in here. There's instructions in this Bible right here for fighting the good fight of faith. Hey, our call to duty. Secondly, our call to defend. Notice this now. Back in the book of Jude right here, verse number 4. He said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Now, ain't that something? They'll slip in on you. He said, they'll slip in on you and you won't even know it. They'll slip in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard things about some churches within 15 miles of this church. I've heard things that their pastor has said and done and taught that I can't repeat out of this pulpit. Ungodliness and teaching it to his congregation. Some pitiful things going on in this world. And friend, if we're going to war this warfare, if we're going to deliver the faith to the next generation, we're called to defend. We're going to have to defend against the foes. We're going to have to discern the foes. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to discern the foes that might slip in? First of all, let me say we need to be Spirit-filled. Secondly, let me say we need to be Scripture-filled. Somebody comes in and starts teaching a lie, boy, there ought to be a bell go off just like that. We ought not even have to go to our Bible and look it up. We ought to know. We ought to be that studied. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. Hey, why do you think there's so many cults like all them people that followed old Jim Jones and that old David Koresh out in Texas and what was that old Sun Yun Moon? And I mean, people can just come up with anything and get a following, can't they? We need to be able to discern the foe. We need to be able to discern error. Amen. And let me tell you, friend, a good start is to get on your knees. Get Spirit-filled. Get in the Word of God. And get Bible-filled, friend. Get the Word in you. And that's a big start right there to recognizing Hey, false teachers. We must be able to discern the foes. The Bible says to try the spirits to see whether they be of God, don't they? Amen. If it don't line up with this Bible, it ain't of God. Amen. Secondly, our call to defend, we must discern the foes, but secondly, we must defeat our flesh. Now, that's as big a problem as the foe. Amen. We live in a day, I tell you, we live in a lustful day. Amen. All kinds of ungodliness coming through the television set. I mean, it's just, it's amazing the things that's on TV. I know it ain't popular to preach it, but there's a lot of ungodly junk on television. Hey, when I grew up, it was Amos and Andy. Amos and Andy. What is it? Andy Griffith? Gunsmoke? Rawhide? The Virginian? Man, just good old entertainment. Without all the cussing. Without all the sexual perversion and everything else ungodly. But that's where we're at today. Be careful what you turn your kids loose with. Amen. Because there's plenty of it out there. We must defeat our flesh. Let's look at verse 20 and 21 and see what this says. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Why do we need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Why do we need to pray? He says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Our minds are feeble. Our minds are fleshly. Hey, our minds will fight against the Spirit and the things of God. We need to pray and pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, we need to do some sincere, earnest praying. Not these little old canned prayers we pray over and over every day. Not these little old now lay me down to sleep prayers. Hey, we need to pray one for another. We need to pray for the men of God. We need to pray for the churches that's still standing. We need to pray for the missionaries that's going traveling everywhere that we give our money to. They're fighting a warfare for the souls of men. This is our battlefield. This is where we come to get refreshed, to get strength, to get training. We must defeat our flesh. Verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Hey, there's some responsibilities that we've got for ourselves. I've got an option. I can pray or I can not pray. Amen? You've got the same option. You can have a pattern of prayer in your life or you can not have a pattern of prayer. You can have you an altar somewhere that you pray or you can not. I mean, it's up to you. You can keep yourself in the love of God or you can not keep yourself in the love of God. You can come up empty at the end of life's way or you can come up with a reward at the end of life's way. We must defeat our flesh. And that's a job. But it's possible. Mighty is our God to the pulling down strongholds. Right, Brother Adam? The devil wants to get a stronghold in your flesh. We must discern the foe. We must defeat our flesh. And we must deliver the faith. The faith. The Bible says there's one Lord. There's one faith, one baptism, one faith, one faith, one gospel, one Savior, one way to heaven. Everything else is out of hell. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what we must deliver to our little ones, to our loved ones, to our lost ones. We live in a society, in a day when everything is accepted, everything is okay. Religion. We live in a day of religion, don't we? When just be religious, you know. There's many ways to God. There's many ways to heaven. That's what the world says. It's a lie. Our call to duty, our call to defend, and lastly this, our call to declare. Our call to declare. It's not time to be mealy-mouthed. Amen. It's time to declare. It's time to let folks know where we stand. And I hope we're going to stand in the old paths, in the old ways. Why? Look in the book of Jude here again. Our call to declare for him. Look at this. There's a danger of past examples. Verse 5, he says, I'll therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. The danger of past examples, friend. We've got some examples to declare. Warn people. Amen. Hey, those that were destroyed in Egypt because they believed not God. The angels that kept not their first estate. Hey, they not going to make it. Even though they were angels. They fell. Sodom and Gomorrah. God rained fire and brimstone down upon them. You know what they stood for? And it's what the world is promoting. It's what our country is okaying and all the junk that goes with it. But there's a danger of past judgment and the example they give us. Unaccept God don't change. God's not going to change His Word. I don't care if President Obama and all his cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody else and every other president in the world signs off on it. God's not going to, He's not going to change what He's given us in this Word right here. The danger of past examples. Not only that, but the danger of present devils. Verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Sounds like a 6 o'clock news, don't it? When they're speaking about a Christian or a preacher or whatever. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's why we need the Lord, ain't it? We're going to do battle with the devil. We can't do it on our own. We need the Lord. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Now listen, there's a danger of present devils. The Bible says over in, I believe it's 1 Timothy, that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, we're in the latter day. There's no doubt in my mind. If you look at the Bible, you can clearly understand that we're living in the last days. And there's seducing spirits. There's doctrines of devils. There's men standing behind a stand just like this right here. There's buildings with a steeple up on top. And he's got a seducing spirit. He's got the doctrines of devils. And he's leading countless thousands of people to a devil's hell. In the name of religion. The name of religion. Hey, we better wake up. We better declare the truth to this generation that's coming up after us. We better know the truth and we better declare it to them. The danger of our past examples, present devils. But lastly this, the danger of future judgment. There's a judgment day a-coming. There's a great day coming upon this world. Judgment day. Used to hear old preachers preach that, Brother Jay. Scared me to death. Judgment day. Judgment day. Standing before Almighty God. Giving an account of yourself. Verse 14 says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh." Listen to this. "The Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." Hey, He ain't coming to have a party right here. He's coming to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Boy, there's a day of vengeance coming. Hey, this world, let me tell you something. They can take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. They can take prayer out of the school. Bible reading out of the school. They can even take "In God We Trust" off our currency. They're trying to do that. They can do everything they want to. But let me tell you something. He's going to have the last say. When the smoke clears, He's going to still be God. And He's going to win this thing. Hey, we're living in the last days, friend. It's a battle. It's going to get ugly. Amen? I believe it was Brother Mark, was telling me the other night about a lady over in, I believe it was Iran. Some of you might have heard this. I hadn't heard it on the news. She's with child, several months with child. She's a Christian. And they've threatened her life if she don't deny Christianity and convert to Islam. Gonna kill her. And I don't know if they've gone through with it or not. But let me tell you something. We've got it made right here. We've got it made. We don't really have to contend with that kind of stuff, do we? Unless one of these days they get enough of them in this country to take over. But we don't know what it's going to be like. But I hope we'll stand true. I hope we'd be worthy to have our names entered into Hebrews chapter number 11 as one that lived the faith and died for the faith. And delivered the faith to the next generation. Our call is to declare the grace of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stick with this word right here. Raise these kids up to take our place one day. I don't want to see the fire go out, do you? We ought to have compassion. We ought to have a burden for these little kids. They live in a world that's trying to take God out. Hey, when I was coming up, God was promoted. My teacher prayed. My teacher had a Bible, read devotional every morning. But now we live in a in a world where they're trying to make God look like some kind of outlaw or criminal or something. Trying to push Him out. And they are after them kids, that ungodly bunch. One verse, Acts 13:36 says this, David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers. Hear what that said? David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep. Boy, that's what I wish that could be said about each and every one of us when we leave this life. That we served our generation by the will of God. We ought to seek His will. We ought to serve Him while we have life, breath, and strength. Amen. Stand with me.